welcome to the first edition of Mint's podcast. I'm Karuna Kumar, Mint's digital editor, in conversation with Mint's deputy managing editor, Anil Padmanabhan. The topic for today's podcast is the Indian general elections 2014. The general elections qualify as one of the largest democratic acts in history. About 815 million people will have a ballot, and close to 20% of these will be eligible for the first time. If that isn't enough to capture the scale of the elections, perhaps this will. The Indian voting pool is larger than the total population of the United States and Western Europe combined. Thanks, Anil, for joining me on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So, Anil, what is different about the general elections 2014?
It happens in a very interesting context. The Indian economy is poised on a precipice, much better than it was, say, 6 months ago. Demographically, the country has developed a youthful bulge. As a result, about 65% of this country's population is less than 35. And most importantly, it has become a very aspirational society. And because this economy has not been able to generate sufficient jobs or create the requisite incentives for these aspirations to be realized, there is a serious aspiration deficit in this country, and as a result, tremendous anger among the electorate. So it is young, angry electorate, and very aspirational. So it makes it a very testy election.
Right. So Anil, do you think the slowdown of the economy is a huge factor for the resentment among the Indian voters?
Not directly, but indirectly, yes. What the slowdown has done that even the little job creation that was happening has kind of disappeared. Previously, even in the growth years, the Indian economy, when it was averaging about 9% plus, the job generation was abysmal. In a span of, say, 10 years, that is 2004, to 2011-12, the number of jobs created in the Indian economy were about 15 million, which means about a million, a little more than a million a year. You add 12 million to the labor force every year. So you're technically not absorbing the workforce, that people joining the labor force every year. You're not even clearing the backlog. So yes, slowing economy worsened this kind of a situation, and thereby clearly angering the young voter that much more.
Let's talk about the candidates who are standing up for the Prime Minister's post. Starting with Narendra Modi, he's gathered momentum and positioned himself as an advocate for economic development. Many are expecting Modi to have a business-friendly governance. What factors do you think have contributed to this sentiment?
See, Narendra Modi has been a very smart politician. I think you have to give him credit for that. Even his worst critics will concede that point. What he has tied into is his entire campaign has been tied into this aspirational society. So he has made this appeal time and again. And he's been lucky enough that you have had a backdrop where the existing incumbent government, which is the Congress-led United Progressive Alliance, has basically non-performed, particularly in the last 5 years. So you have had a governance crisis, you have had a growth crisis, you have had a jobs crisis, and here comes a politician who stokes that anger and then sells his own aspirational message to the electorate. So he has been very clever in his campaign. His political messaging has been spot on.
Moving to the Congress party. Now, the Congress party is facing a crisis of confidence, and this doesn't come as a surprise given the frequent corruption scandals, persistent inflation, and anemic growth. What do you think are some of the core issues the Congress party will face in winning the confidence of the public?
And a vision that is appealing to everybody. Right now, they are playing the same vision with which they won the election in 2004 and a re-election in 2009, which is basically the message of inclusion. Even today, you do need inclusion. You do need special programs for the poor. But there's a fundamental shift in India today. The level of poverty in India today is down to 22%. Say in 2004, it was nearly 40%. So it's a big, big drop. 150 million people have been lifted out of poverty, which, put it another way, 150 million people have been added into the middle class. And this is the lower middle class. Now, to make them sustainable, which is to stoke their aspirations or to realize their aspirations, you need a completely different strategy and a different dream to sell to them. So selling them the message of inclusion alone won't be enough. So what the Congress needed to do, now it may be a little too late with just a few weeks into the election, was to sell a credible dream which not only created a fresh message out there. It also took the people's attention away from the kind of non-performance or the meltdown that we have seen in governance in the last 5 years. So it distracts people, sends them a fresh message. And it makes eminent sense given the fact that their leadership in this is Rahul Gandhi, who's young. He's just 43 years old. So he fits into the young demography very well. He's charismatic. But unfortunately, he's not a very good public speaker. But he could have messaged this very well and capitalized on it.
Let's talk about the Aam Aadmi Party. Its leader, Arvind Kejriwal, an activist-turned-politician, was appointed as Delhi's chief minister but left office after 49 days. How successful do you think he will be in transitioning his protest movement to a governing force?
Depends how you measure success. If you're looking at it in terms of number of seats that he's going to win in the parliament election, may not be so significant as he did in the Delhi Assembly election. But his success as a political force, I think he's here to stay, what he represents. They have done several good things for Indian politics. One, they have lowered the entry barrier into politics, and it has challenged the conventional parties like the BJP and the Congress in their traditional turf. Second, he has championed the cause of hitherto ignored section in Indian population, which is basically the bottom of the pyramid, the poor, the economically disenfranchised. He has empowered them in a very big way, and he has changed the discourse. If you look at the manifestos of both the BJP and the Congress, they are both stolen ideas from what the Aam Aadmi Party orchestrated. Just to give you a simple example, it is providing basic electricity and basic water as a human right, which, by the way, is guaranteed under the United Nations Charter and as a part of a Millennium Development Goals. So it is not something unique. But he did champion the cause, and it resonated with people. So in redefining Indian politics, he has been a very important player. He may not numerically have the numbers, but I think as a political force, Aam Aadmi Party is going to be around for some time.
Now, an interesting aspect about India is that it's a very young country. More than 65% of the population is younger than 35. What do you think will be the role of the young voters in this election?
See, unlike in the case of social identity, like caste or religion, where you can easily silo voters into minorities or some caste composition, youth is not easy to silo because they have different intersections. They are just a gender, like demographic division. So it is not very easy to silo them and to pool them into one national vote bank, just like women also can't be. But they are very significant players. Their sheer numbers, as you mentioned, 50% of 814 million is not a small number, but they are spread out. So, but their aspirations do create a kind of ripple effect, do create a demonstrative effect. So their desires are already influencing all the manifestos. So I do see them influencing an outcome, but they may not determine an outcome.
And finally, I'm very tempted to ask, what would be your prediction for the general elections 2014?
I don't want to join the sophologist game of calling elections because I'm not being smart about this. I'm just saying that it is very difficult to call an election in India because it's very, very complex. In the current context, it is even more complex because you have resurgent force in the BJP, you have a declining force in the Congress, you have rising regional entities everywhere, you have aspirations which are really loose. So this is actually a very fluid election, but I can definitely say with certainty that there is a massive anti-Congress sentiment in the country. All the anger of the last 10 years seems to be directed to the Congress party, and the beneficiary seems to be the BJP. But then you have another force like the Aam Aadmi Party, which makes it that much more unpredictable. But if you are looking for broad directions, I would just safely say that the political momentum is with the BJP-led coalition at this point of time.
Thank you, Anil, for joining me on this podcast. We hope to continue this conversation. Thanks for listening.